In your Bibles this morning, we're going to be in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, in a moment, beginning at verse 13. Now, all of us, if you've been with here any length of time, you know that never in the history of this church has God given me three words in 1 year for the body of Christ here. And you know that I pray every year, Lord, what would you have us move into or whatnot? And one of the words, the word for this new year was revolution. We know that 2022 is more than a year for Calvary Chapel. It's a season, and the season begins in 2022, and for some reason runs through 2024. I can only declare that, loved one. I can't define what God's doing tomorrow, but we can be obedient today. Amen. So, with all that being said, we know that Ecclesiastes 3:1 it says, "To everything there is a season, that fixed portion of time, a time for every purpose under heaven." That and time means the beginning of it, that fixed period of time, the beginning period. We've also learned now, like the Bible tells us in what, Matthew 11:12, that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and it tells us that the violent take it by force. Now, the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are really the same thing in Scripture, okay? But when it says take it by force, that's talking about spiritually. You know, we don't fight against flesh and blood, do we? No. So, loved one, the other translations I love dearly, where it talks about where we make the kingdom of God, since it's already been given unto us, we make it our own. We neglect that word kingdom of God, which is vital today. The other translation says that we make the kingdom of God our own, but we treat it as a prized possession. And it certainly is. So here we are, whether you know it or not, if you're visiting or not, if this is your home church, loved one, here's the deal. You are called to be a part of this revolution. We're the church of Jesus Christ. And that means in the season that we're in, we're going to do everything that we can to revolve only around the shepherd of the sheep, only around the King of Kings. Amen? We know that we've learned there's only one thing to seek first in our lives now, that we belong to the kingdom and we belong to the Lord. And that is we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And if we do so, there is a promise. First the command, now the promise. All things that we need will be added unto us. Amen? And that means the things that we need in this life. You have absolutely no provision here. I know that's hard to believe. I mean, if we opened your refrigerator, you'd think you were well stocked, okay? You know, 10 gallons of ice cream and all, you know. No, listen, you know what I mean. We have needs, but our Father in heaven knows that we have these needs. You know, when we ask him, he already knows everything, but we're to seek first the kingdom. And not only that, loved one, listen, we know that we belong to now, as we've learned, an unshakable kingdom that can never be shaken. Matter of fact, you cannot touch. No one can touch what is eternal. Our God rules. Our God reigns over all the kingdoms and all the kings of the earth. Amen. His throne is in heaven, and we have the privilege of going there anytime, day, night, any moment. Not only that, we've learned that we are to hear and do. Not just be hearers of God's word, but we do God's word. We apply God's word. So the revolution begins when the church of Jesus Christ brings the kingdom to others with the heart of God, with the love of God, with the love of Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, listen, the Bible tells us in Philippians 2:4, look out upon the interest, not only yourself, but others. Others. Christianity made others important. If you went to the fifth verse of Philippians 2:5, and then the command, it says, "And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord." Wherever Jesus went, did he bring hope? Did he bring life? Did he bring victory? Did he heal the sick? The leper, the blind. Amen. We are to walk now, even as he walked, because we are his spiritual body on this planet, and he is the head of the church. Listen, we're to bring life to others and hope to others and love to others. We are to be Jesus to this world, and we are the only Jesus that this lost world is ever going to see. Amen? We're his witnesses here. We're the light and we're the salt of the world, loved one. Now, with all that being said, are you in Matthew chapter 16? All right, look at verse 13. I'm going to talk to you this morning on this perhaps final sermon about the keys of the kingdom. And matter of fact, I want you to just think about this for a minute. Keys is plural, not singular. The keys of the kingdom, beginning in verse 13. And when Jesus came into Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I am, the Son of Man?" So they said, "Well, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And Jesus said unto his disciples, them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You are the Christ. You're the eternal King," in other words. He says, "You're the Son of the living God. You are Emmanuel, God with us, right in front of us." Jesus said, "Wow, man, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you that you are what? You're just a stone. You're just a little pebble. You know, you're a Petros. You're a chunk of a rock. You can pick it up and toss you down the street," in other words. He says, "And on this rock, Petra," in other words, a stone that can never, ever, ever be moved. Amen? He says, Jesus says, "You know what? On that rock, on that stone that is immovable," Jesus says, "I will build my church." Now, loved one, this is vital that we see this morning. Everything that we are now going to talk about is about the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? Do you understand? I will build my church. But Jesus has the church been birthed? No, it's future tense. Jesus said, "I will build my church." Now, that means Pentecost, the day that the church, the season when the birth is birthed. Amen? Are y'all with me? Okay, so he's talking of the future, but everything we talk about now that Jesus is talking about has to do with his church. So let me back up. "And I also say to you that you are Petros," you're just a little pebble, a little rock, "and on this Petra," this stone, this immovable stone, "I will build my church," future tense, "and the gates of Hades shall not," what? Prevail against it. They'll not overcome it. They'll not overpower it. It'll be undefeatable. Now, listen carefully. I don't want to get into this part of it, but I just have to hit it quickly. Peter was not the first pope. Do you understand? I don't mean that critically, but he just wasn't the first pope. Okay? "Here are the keys, Peter. You know, you're the pope." No, you're not. No. Was Peter married? Thank you. Three of you. Well, he was the first married pope then, okay? Matter of fact, let me tell you how much of a pope he wasn't. In verse 23, if we went on down, and I don't have time, Jesus said, "You know what? I'm going to die. I'm going to be crucified. And I'm going to rise from the dead," and so forth. And Jesus took Peter aside and rebuked him and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Huh? What kind of pope is that? And then what else did Peter do to the Lord? Did he deny him? Okay, so he denied him, absolutely. So we can get away from all of that. There is only one rock. There is only one. His name is Jesus Christ. Yes, it says in Ephesians, I think it is, was it 2:20, 19:20 in that area? It says that, you know, we were strangers and pilgrims, aliens from the commonwealth and so forth, but now we have been built upon the apostles and the prophets and the chief cornerstone, Jesus, okay? He's our foundation. No other foundation can any man lay which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is the rock. Men doesn't, we don't build his church, okay? Jesus is the one who builds his church, which he purchased with his own blood. He owns us, amen? And how does he build the church? Go look in the mirror. There you are, Christ revolutionaries sitting in the pew. There you are right now. That's how he builds his church. Now watch verse 19. He says, and I will give you. Now that you in the Greek is plural, not singular. That's vital that you see that. He's not just talking to Peter, okay? I will give you the keys, plural, of the kingdom of heaven, or kingdom of God, either one. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. He who hath ears to hear, if there's ever been a day you were meant to hear this sermon this day, open up your ears, everyone, because Jesus just said something. He said, I will give you, plural, the kingdom, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Is that incredible? No, listen. Give you keys. Man, I think about that. Why does that not excite you? Think about that. What does that even mean? Well, if you study in the Bible, keys, in the Bible, it's a symbol of authority. It's a symbol of power that is bestowed upon someone as a steward to take care of the master's possessions or household, okay? So you're now entrusted with the keys to the kingdom. Is that an incredible responsibility? And that's what happens right here. So what are the keys to the kingdom? Well, the keys to the kingdom, loved one, it's power, the power of these keys. You know, if you have a key, it means that you can bind or loose. It means you can lock or unlock. Okay, you follow me? That's what those words mean. And so that's what keys do, isn't that right? If you have keys in your pocket, of course, people have keys hardly today to their cars. I don't know what it is today. You know what I'm saying? I was in my office working, and I don't want to get off the subject, but, so I noticed outside my window, I heard a car running, but there's nobody in it. It was one of the people that work in the office. And I'm going, why is that car running? They started it up inside. To warm it up. Never mind. I mean, you can do anything today, but you start thinking about keys. I mean, what do keys do? I have keys. I have keys in my pocket. I have keys to my house. I can go to my house. I can lock my house. I can unlock it, my car, and so forth. I have keys to this church. Some of you don't have any keys to this church, and I thank God you don't. Do you understand? You know, I can go over and I can unlock that door right now. And some of you can't. I'm thankful. Because you'd go in there and go, oh my gosh, what a crummy, dirty church. You know, it's a storage area, you know. I have a special room at Calvary. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. But no one has the key but me. Only me. That's a special room for me. And you know what's in that room? The little things that kids make me, the little cards that you send me, the little gifts that probably maybe no one would want, little paper things that are made. I even have a little doll that's still in the case that says Kill Bill. It's the truth, I'm not lying. I said, I'm love, man. No, but I have that key. I have authority to that room. Does that make sense? Man, a key means power. A key means authority, loved one. Listen, if I gave you the keys to my house, that means I'm giving you the authority, the power. You go to my house, you can open it up, stay out of my refrigerator. But you know what I'm saying? You can lock it and do whatever you want. That's what we're trying to talk about. Man, those keys, it's unbelievable. I mean, think about it. The keys to the kingdom of heaven. You know what? I don't think the church is excited, and that's the problem. The church isn't excited about that. Do you understand? We've let it all go over our heads. I promise you right now, if I selected someone in this audience and I pulled out here a keys, and now let's just say a guy. Yeah, not a woman, but a guy. But that doesn't mean anything. I don't email me. I want to be politically correct. So I walk up to one of you guys, you know, maybe, you know, got your little hat on, some red man chewing the back there. And I'm saying, these are the keys to a brand new, fully paid for Dodge Ram Hemi. You see drool start coming. Spittle, you know. It's mine, yeah. And wouldn't that, you see what I'm getting at? Would they be excited? If I come to one of you and say, you know what? Here are the keys to a multi-million dollar estate in the, one of the best locations in all of Fort Worth. And you know what? Your maintenance, all of your grounds will be taken care of for life. Your electricity, everything is paid for. You don't have to do anything but go buy your groceries and live there for the rest of your life. Here are the keys. Would you say, well, okay, thank you. I'll be there in a couple of days. If that happened to you right now, you'd get up and leave this service. Am I right or wrong? But see, God says, Jesus says, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, he says, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Man, keys of power, keys of authority. Have you ever just looked at the keys of the Bible? Let me just give you a few. Revelation 1:18, talking about Jesus. He says, I was dead, now I'm alive. He says, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And he says, you know what? I have the keys. I have the keys of Hades and death. He has them, not the devil. He says, I have absolute authority over everything that there is. How about this one? Revelation 9:1, in the great tribulation period, the fifth angel sounded a star. He says, I saw a star fallen. That's perfect tense, meaning a star that had already fallen, meaning the devil. He says, I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. Oh, and to him, meaning the devil, was given a key, singular, to the bottomless pit. In other words, he was given permission to take that key and open the bottomless pit, the abuso. And what came out of that pit? You remember those demonic locusts that went out that were, that there were, you know what? They're there right now. Do you know that they're there in the abuso right this minute and they're waiting for that day? They're there. They're waiting to be unlocked right this minute in the great tribulation period. And what happens when they come out, those demonic locusts, it says, and they start torturing and tormenting man. It says, and man will beg to die, but death will flee from them. Key. They're powerful. There's an authority there. Let me give you another scripture. Revelation 20, verse 1. I saw an angel coming down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit, the abuso again, meaning he had now the power to lock it. Okay, this angel, and a great chain was in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil, who is Satan, and bound him, locked him for 1,000 years. Do you know how powerful the keys of the kingdom are? That you can take the key and open someone's heart, or you can take the key and deny it to their heart. In other words, you can take the key of the knowledge of the good news of Jesus Christ and not give it. That's exactly in Jesus' days what the scribes and the Pharisees, what they were doing. Let me give you the scripture, Luke 52:10. Woe to you lawyers, Jesus said, you've taken away the key of knowledge. In other words, the true knowledge concerning the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, you're not going to enter yourselves. And those who are entering, you're preventing, you're hindering them. Do you want that ever to be said about us? Matthew's Gospel, 23rd chapter 13, Jesus said again, woe to you scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you shut up, you lock, binding and loosing. You lock up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow others to go in after you. Look at verse 19 again. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Is that power? Is that unbelievable? Listen now. Let me tell you what binding and loosing doesn't mean, because there is so much false teaching in the world today about that, okay? Especially this verse. Listen, this is taught that this is binding the strong man. Remember in Matthew's gospel, the 12th chapter, the 29th verse, Jesus is teaching, binding the strong man. Well, the strong man is not the devil necessarily. You know, you don't bind the strong man. Did you know binding and loosing is not about binding this devil or that demon or this and that? And, you know, I bind you and loose you. And most people don't know what they're doing anyway. Listen, I don't want anyone binding and loosing anything. They can't even balance their checkbook. Come on, let's be honest with you. Jesus did not say to us, listen. When Jesus was on the cross, what happened? Colossians 2:15, having disarmed principalities and powers, making a public spectacle out of them, triumphing over them in it, meaning the cross. Who did he disarm? Every principality and power, Satan and the demons. They don't need to be bound. They're already defeated. And if they're already defeated, why would we want to bind them? We walk from a point of victory. He always operates from a point of defeat. Are you with me? Okay, that's so, so important. Listen, the Bible is clear on spiritual warfare. We don't have to bind this and loose this, and I'm going to get more on that in a minute. What are we called to do? The Bible is perfectly clear. Are we to put on the whole armor of God? Okay, we're to fight the devil exactly the way God tells us to do it. Ephesians 6:16, it says this, above all, everything else, take up the shield of faith by which you will be able to quench. Say it one more time. All the fiery darts of the wicked one. Pick up the shield of faith. It didn't say bind him. No, how about this one? James 4:7. Submit to God, resist the devil. It didn't say bind the devil. Resist is a military term. I've submitted to the Lord. If you don't submit to the Lord, it doesn't do any good to resist. I'm resisting you. And what did it say the devil will do when you stand and you, He will run, flee. He will flee. He has to run from you. That's what the Bible says. It didn't say anything about binding him. 1 Peter 5:8 says this, be sober, vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Steadfast, immovable. How? In the faith. It doesn't say about binding him. He's defeated. Oh, if you don't know that, how will you ever have the victory? Oh, no. 1 John 2:14, John writes, says, oh, listen, I've written unto you because you are strong. And the reason they're strong is the word of God abides in them. And you have overcome the wicked one. 1 John 4:4, we know that we're of God. We have overcome them. And greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Luke. Yeah, 1 John 5:18. We know that we are born of God, and whoever is born of God does not sin, meaning doesn't practice a sinful lifestyle. That's not our lifestyle. And it says, but he guards himself, or keeps himself, same thing, and the wicked one touches us not. Do you understand? See, I can stand on those scriptures. I can stand. You can stand on those scriptures. Whenever the disciples went out, Jesus sent them out, the 70, and said, you know, you cast out the demons and you heal the sick, and you tell those that are being healed that when they're healed, the kingdom of God has come near unto you. And they came back to the Lord rejoicing, saying, oh, Lord Jesus, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said unto them in Luke 10:19, behold, I give you the authority. That's what a key is, the authority. I give you the authority to trample on serpents, scorpions. Here it comes. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Can you put that in the bank? And Jesus goes on and he says, but nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits or the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Isn't that great? I mean, can you see your name? It's right there in heaven. You know, William J. Quinn. There you go, Lord. I like that. Maybe he calls me Willie. I don't know. But my name is right there. Now listen, we're talking about binding and loosing the kingdom of heaven. Now watch it, verse 19 again. Whatever you bind will be bound in heaven, bound on earth, and loosed on earth, loosed in heaven. Now let me just tell you again what this is not about. In Luke chapter 13, there is a great passage about a woman who is a child of Abraham who was bent over double. She was bound. It says, lo, for these 18 years, and bound by the devil, Satan himself. And she had what was called in there a spirit of infirmity, okay? The Amplified Version translates it a demon of sickness. That's exactly what it was. And Jesus said, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And then he laid his hands upon her, and she stood up straight and glorified God. That's not talking about binding and loosing the devil. You understand? That's totally different. And I don't know where all these people get off on that. And I love them. I'm not trying to beat up any people that teach that. I'm just telling what the Bible says, okay? And here's the deal. You know, I do know that binding and loosing is part of church discipline, okay? Remember about in Matthew's Gospel 18, 15, all the way down, you know, and so forth, about a brother who won't repent and all this, and they bring him before the church, and if he won't hear the church, what do? You have to leave. That's horrible. But that's the Word of God. Jesus said then concerning that, he said, Matthew 18, 18, assuredly I say to you, meaning the whole body there, the whole church, whatever you bind on earth, bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth, loosed in heaven. Now listen though, the body of Christ only in Matthew 18 and today, they only enforced what was already decreed and written by God. Does that make sense? They didn't just come up with something. The only way that you can bind and loose anything is because you have the Word of God. Are you with me? Boy, that's our only authority. To bind simply means this, what you don't allow, you do not permit. To loose literally means to permit or allow. Let me give you now the exact translations, one by Wiest, who's our Greek scholar, great guy, Kenneth Wiest. And so you'll understand what this verse is saying, okay? Let me read it to you. Verse 19. From Wiest translation, whatever you bind on earth, whatever you, the church, whatever you forbid to be done, here it comes, shall have already been bound in heaven. Does that make sense? Okay. And whatever you loose on earth, whatever you permit to be done, shall have already been loosed in heaven. You see, we don't come up with stuff. We have to do what the Word of God says. Jesus doesn't say, okay, Bill, you know what? Whatever you bind on earth or loose on earth, guess what? Our Father in heaven, he's going to have to say, okay, well, let it be done. Is that what he's saying? No, loved one. He's saying this, whatever God has already willed to be done, we can do. Does that make sense? You see, it's not about our will. It says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the Word of God came from heaven. Amen? So we're just being in agreement with what the Word already teaches. That's our only authority. So again, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now listen carefully. What are the keys to the kingdom of heaven? It's so simple, isn't it? A key is used for something, right? A key is used to lock or unlock doors. But here, what door are we talking about? Well, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. And who is the door? Jesus. And who are the keys for? For others, those that are outside the kingdom, amen? Now listen to me. Why do you think that, I'll say that in a minute. I'm going to wait right there before I go on. So here's the deal. The door, what are the keys of the kingdom? Are you ready? They unlock the doors. What doors are we talking about? Whenever Jesus said that to Peter, the church was not yet birthed, but it was birthed on Pentecost, remember? So in Acts chapter 2, that great sermon by Peter, he unlocked the door of salvation or the door of faith to what group of people? To the Jews. And then in Acts chapter 10, Peter took the key and opened the door for faith or the door of salvation to who? The Gentiles, Cornelius and his household. They were saved. In Acts chapter 8, verse 14, it says that Philip preached the kingdom of God and Christ to them. Great revival broke out. Many, many were saved. Who were those people? The Samaritans. So when you think of a key is to do something for other people that God has given unto you. It's to open the door, the kingdom of heaven, so they can enter in. Amen? And that's exactly what's been given unto us. Now, here's the problem that we have to face. It's not a problem. Were the keys only given to Peter? No, of course not. Of course not. No, loved one, listen. What was given unto Peter has been given unto us. We have the keys. Why do you think why did Jesus use plural with keys? Does it take a lot of keys to unlock the kingdom of heaven? No. It means that every one of you right now, you have, if you're born again, if you're a disciple of the Lord, whether you know it or not, you've been given a key. You have it right this minute. You've always had this key. Does that make sense? This is one of the greatest passages in the Bible, loved one. You've been given the greatest authority in the universe. You have the key for others to lead them in eternal life, to lead them out of darkness, to rescue from the devil. Amen? For their sins to be completely removed. You have the keys to open the door of salvation to the lost. Why doesn't that excite the church anymore? The revolution will just be a sermon. It'll never be translated into action if you want to settle for what we have. I don't want to go out like that. Loved one, listen. This world and all that is in the world is passing away. It's only those who do the will of God will abide forever. You have been given, every believer, you could be one day old in the Lord, you have been given the key, loved one, to unlock the will of God to others in this lost world. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm telling you what, you have the authority to say, okay, God, this is what you allow and this is what you don't allow. Then I lock it or I unlock it. Amen. Oh, listen, we're not called to bind up a bunch of demons. We're called to cast a demon out. Amen. We don't serve God to get things. We belong to the kingdom. All things are already ours. That's why we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things that we need. Jesus said, they'll be added unto us. All that you need. Our provision is in heaven first and then manifested here upon this planet. We don't have to worry about a thing. Don't we really, really don't. Remember the sermon? Go look at the birds. Go look at the flowers. That's great counseling. Come on. No, we have everything that we need. Now listen, the same authority that was given unto Peter, the keys, have been given unto every disciple of Christ in all of the ages. You have the key, I have the key. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:18 that God has given unto each of us the ministry of reconciliation. In verse 19 of the same chapter I'm reading or talking from my mind, he says, and has been entrusted, we're stewards, and God has entrusted unto us the word of reconciliation. The Word, God, was in Christ when he was done. And what did he do? He reconciled the world to himself. God is ready. All you have to do is come to him. Amen? See, reconciliation is something that we offer. We take the hand of the lost person. We have the key to the kingdom with us. We know where the door is. Does that make sense? Come on. There's the door. He's Christ. Here's the key to get him in. We're going to open the door. And we take the lost. Say, okay, God says he's already done this reconciliation. I'm just going to offer to you. Come on over here and let me put your hand in the one named Jesus. And he can now save you. I'll lead you to the door. All you have to do is walk into it. I've got a key. Here, go on. Amen? Think about that. That is not some false reality. That is a true reality. You know, when a person is born again, you don't know how they're born again. Remember what in John chapter 3 in Nicodemus, and they said, Jesus said, no, the wind blows. It's like the Spirit. Just you, here and there, you don't know. You don't see the Spirit. The Spirit is here right now. You don't see him. He's moving over here. He's moving over here. He's moving up here. He's right here. But you know, whenever that person opens their heart, oh, he's right there to come into them. And listen, is there anything greater than that? The problem today, and I'm challenging you because I love you. I'm challenging you because this is the Word of God, whether you like it or not. We are a spoiled bunch. We're spoiled. We're the most, I don't even want to go there. You have, not only do you have the keys, the power, the authority to the kingdom of God, not only do you know who the door is, you are now, right this minute, an ambassador of Christ on this planet. Let me give you the word, 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God were pleading through us. That's what he does. And we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled unto God. Listen, that is the cry of God to this lost world. He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? Oh, listen, that's what Jesus wants. But Jesus told the Jews, what did he say? Oh, he said, but you're not willing to come to me that you might have life. I tell you, the cry of God is to be reconciled unto him. That has to be the cry of this church. If it's not, then you know what we're going to do? We're just going to go through motions. We're going to sing a few songs. And, you know, we're going to hear a few sermons. But we're not going to really apply them. I'm not doing that. I am moving into the kingdom. I belong to the kingdom of God. I don't belong to this world. I'll never belong to this world. Amen? We're better than this world. Man, we are sons and daughters of the living God. We are co-heirs with Christ, amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, Alan Redpath said this, the pleading heart of God is only made known through the lips of Christians. Heaven pleads through us. The problem is many of the ambassador of Christ, they've lost their keys. They don't know where their keys are anymore. And here we are in a season of revolution. You know, listen, we have the message from God. We have the good news. Do you know what the key is? The key is the gospel, isn't it? You know, someone said this, a lost world is not on the doorstep of a powerless, loveless God. Let me read that again. A lost world, the world that we live in, is not on the doorstep of a powerless, loveless God, but is on the doorstep of an apathetic, unconcerned church. How many churches in a 50-mile radius from here? Think of that. There shouldn't be one lost person in 50-mile radius. You know what I mean? Or at least they should be moving away from us. But we don't think like that. We think the church is this building, but it's not. This is a building. You're the building of God. You're the house of God. You're the ambassadors of Christ. You are his revolutionaries, amen? And I say, oh, Lord, you know, what are we going to do? You know, here we go. We have the key. We have the good news, and we're either going to lock it away and not share it, or we're going to take it over here and unlock it and see people changed. See, that's it. There's no other way to say it. Isn't it sad to even think that we would unlock or lock the gospel up and not share it? You know, we don't have to be afraid of sharing the good news. People don't like it. You didn't like it before you came to Christ, okay? But aren't you glad you accepted Jesus? Aren't you glad someone told you about Jesus? Man, I'm glad somebody told me. I'm glad that hippie on the beach told me. I'm glad that I'm born again. I know the truth, and the truth has made me free, loved one. And that's what God's truth does to us. Listen, we have the keys to the kingdom. We have been given the authority in this revolution to invite the lost to enter in. You see, Jesus said in John 3:3, he said, unless a person is born again, they cannot even see the kingdom of God. It's amazing. I told you last Sunday, I think I did, that wherever we set our feet, wherever we go, we have now brought the kingdom of God. Amen. Now listen, you're in the workplace. You're out wherever you are, a restaurant, any place, family, friends, neighbors, school, college, wherever you are. Wherever you are, you just brought the kingdom. You got the keys right there in your pocket. Think about that. And there's that person right there. Here you got the keys. You know where the door is. And that person is lost. He is going, or she is going, to hell. They don't know that. They don't know the devil is their God. They don't know that. They're lost. They're not discerning that, and they would be offended if you even said that to them. And here you go. You have the answer. You have the key. You have the answer to what they need. Yes, they may reject it. You can say, here's the door. Come on. You know what? If I get you in that door, if you'll go through that door, if you'll just go, and if you'll enter in the door, Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep. If you'll just enter in, you'll be changed. You'll become a new creation. Old things are going to pass away. All things are going to become new. You're going to see clearly for the first time in your life. You're going to know that you've been changed inside. All of your sin has been washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And now you have a key. You can tell others. Does that make sense? But oh, to say to that person, hey, I don't want to offend them. I don't have anything to say. We have a testimony, don't you? Someone was asking me the other day, said, you know, it's kind of hard maybe to witness. I need to know more. And I said, you know what? All you need to do is have a testimony. If you're a baby Christian, you have a testimony. Just say, I don't know. Here's the deal. I was lost and I was found. I don't know. I was blind. I see. How'd that happen? I have no clue. But I just know I'm changed. Well, what about this? I don't know anything about that yet. I'm a baby Christian, but I know this. I know that I'm not the same man. I'm not the same woman because I have been set free, and I know that Jesus is real. That's all I know. I don't know how many books are in the Bible. I don't know what justification by faith is. I just know that I have been changed because someone took their key and open the door of salvation for them. That's your authority that we have in Christ Jesus. I want you to listen as I'm going to close in about an hour. You know, we have churches everywhere. All different kinds of names. I mean, Calvary Chapel, that's a man-made name. Do you understand? Baptist is a man-made name. There's nothing wrong with that. It just kind of defines who we are. But in reality, there are only two churches left on planet Earth right now. And everyone who names the name of the Lord is either in one or the other. The two churches are found in the book of Revelation. Turn there in chapter 3 with me. One is called Philadelphia. That is, Jesus called Philadelphia the faithful church. In other words, it was spirit-ruled. It wanted to serve the Lord and so forth. And it was the other church is called Laodicea. Jesus called them a lukewarm church. He says, I wish you were either hot or cold, but since you're not, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth, which means you have no part of being in the body of Christ, okay? So they thought they were Christians, but they weren't Christians. They thought they were saved, but they weren't saved. They thought Jesus was in their church in Laodicea, but you know what? Jesus wasn't in their church at all. Jesus said, this church, I have to upchuck or vomit. It makes me ill because that church was saying, hey, I'm rich, Laodicea. Hey, I'm wealthy. I have need of nothing. Is that not a picture of the American church today? Amen. It is, loved one. It's sad, but that's the truth. Now look at the church of Philadelphia. It says in verse 7, and the Revelation 3, 7, and the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Remember, Philadelphia means brotherly love. So they practiced love never fails, okay? He says, these things, who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David. He who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. Jesus is talking to the faithful church. He's talking to the faithful church of the last days, the true church. He says, I'm sitting upon the throne of David. I am the King of kings. I am the Lord of lords. And I have the right key, the royal key. And when I open something, there's no force and no power in the universe that can close it. Are you listening to me? That's what Jesus said from his own lips. He says, oh, I know your works. Now listen to what he says. See. In other words, look. Open your eyes. Open your eyes. See, I have set before you what kind of door? An open door. No one can shut it, for you have little strength. Oh, you've kept my word, and you've not denied my name. When it comes up in Scripture, it always is a reference to an opportunity, or a door is an opportunity for ministry. It's an opportunity to use your key. Does that make sense? Whenever Paul the apostle on his first missionary journey, Acts 14, 27, is that they all came and they gathered into the church and they were giving a report how God had done all these things. And it says how God had opened, in other words, unlocked the door of faith to the Gentiles. So this opportunity of this open door, he says, oh, I've set this door before you. No one can shut it. It is unlocked. It's wide open. Now listen to me. If we're not willing to really move into what God has for us, I mean, the violent take it by force, where we say, I've had enough. I'm going to do exactly what Jesus says to do. I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God. I'm turning off my computer when I wake up in the morning. I'm not reading the paper. I want to hear good news before I hear the bad news. I'm seeking you, Lord. I'm at the throne of grace. You want me to be there. We can talk. Prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. Amen. Prayer is the work. If we're not willing to walk into this open door that God has for us, if we're not willing to be a part of the revolution, that is a sad thing. Loved one, listen. Here's what it takes. Look what Jesus says it takes. I've set a door before you. I've opened it wide. Not anyone can shut it. We have a door that is wide open, and it's open right now. And he says, nobody can shut it. But there are conditions. And look what the conditions were. He says this. He says, you have a little strength. Strength is dunamis. Remember Acts 1:8. You will receive dunamis, or power, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You can't do anything in your own power. And, there's so many boards today and the church and all the rest of this. And you know what? We don't need any. You know what we need? We need Jesus. That's what we need. We need Jesus. We need his power. We don't have the power to do anything on our own. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord, it says in Ephesians 6:10, and the power of his might. Oh, listen, it says here, you have a little strength. That's, what does that mean? It means this, that the church of Philadelphia is weak enough to be used by God. Strong, I'm a strong believer. Oh, I got it down. Oh, no, yeah, you scare me. Let me get away from you. Weak enough. I mean weak enough to be used by God. Weak enough to take your key out of your pocket that Jesus, your personal key to the kingdom that he's given unto you, and say, by faith, not in my ability, but in your ability, Jesus, I can use it to change their life. I don't need to know big words. I just need to speak the truth in love, that Jesus loves you and that he died for you and he wants you. Are you with me? Weak enough to use the key that God has given you. G. Morgan Campbell said, the church did the most for the world when the church was the least in the world. That's a true word. But they did the next thing. They had a little strength, and they were, what does it say? They kept, what was that word? They kept my word. They kept my word. What does that mean? It means they believe Matthew 6:33. They seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Do you understand? That's what they did. They had to believe that because that's a command. Does that make sense? Yes. In other words, they were hearers of the word of God and doers of the word of God, not deceiving themselves. They said, Jesus said it. That settles it. I'm going to use my key. He has given unto me. And he says, also look at the rest. He said, and they didn't deny my name. You see, do you know what? When we don't go over and share Christ, do you think we're denying his name a little bit? Yes. Come on. We cannot be a sissy church. If we need to be, what did I say last Sunday? A revolutionary church means that we kill people with love. We violently love you to death. We're going to be violently good to you, the lost. Does that make sense? And to one another. Not hateful. We're going to speak God's truth in tender love to the lost and to one another as well. We have the keys to the kingdom. So here we are. We've got this door. It's all open for us. All we have to do is go. Look at verse 10 of Revelation 3. Because you've kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial. Now, we know that's the great tribulation period. We're going to be raptured before that happens, which will come upon the whole world. And who's going to test? Those who dwell on the earth. 10 times that phrase is mentioned in the book of Revelation has always to do with unbelievers, never with believers, okay? So we're not going to go through any part of the great tribulation period. We're going to be removed from it. And this promise of the seven churches in Revelation, this promise was only given to the church right here, the church at Philadelphia. This is a promise that was made to those who they have the keys to the kingdom, those who are seeking first the kingdom of God, those that this promise was made to those that are following Jesus and they pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11, behold, Jesus says, I'm coming suddenly or quickly. Hold fast to what you have, that no one may take your what? Crown. Your crown. What is that? Is take your crown? You know, if you're going to hold fast, that means it must be precious to you, right? You, whatever's precious, you hold tightly, don't you? He says, don't let anybody take your crown. Now, what is he talking about? Is he talking about the crown of salvation? Can you lose your salvation? No, he's not talking about that. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about the door to ministry. Don't miss that opportunity. God has given us an opportunity this season that we're in, 2022 to 2024, a season, man, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the power of the Spirit, to see souls that are saved. Amen. Oh, loved one, listen, I'm telling you, you have the keys of the kingdom, and either you're going to lock it or you're going to unlock it. Dear God, I tell you what, I want to be a part of the church unashamed. that they boldly confess that we are pilgrims and strangers in this world. And we have no city here, but we look for one to come. That could happen any minute. We're living in the greatest time of Christendom. We're living in a nation that is disintegrating. But we can be the light of the world because we are the light of the world. We have the keys to the kingdom. And America, without a revival, I fear that it's going to burn in the ashes. I say that with love. No, I love my nation. But loved one, we have a problem because America's moral compass is just going crazy. The homes, even the churches in America, they're doing what is right in their own eyes, not what is right in God's eyes. You know what? They take the word, many churches now, they take the word, what God has called good, now they're called evil, they're calling it good. Loved one, listen, we are in the last days. You're either in Philadelphia or you're in Laodicea. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way. And there is. There's a way that seems right unto man. It just seems right. It's a way to do it. But God says, oh no, it just leads to death. We know the way out of death. Amen? You know, because death will never touch us. To be absent from the body, oh, we're home, loved one. Now listen to me. I want you to go over and look at lukewarm church with me. I'm getting ready to close, but I want you to look at this now. Go to the lukewarm church, Laodicea, in verse 20 of chapter 3. And look what Jesus is doing. He says, behold, I stand at the door. And what is Jesus doing? He's knocking. In other words, let me in. You talk about me. You preach about me. You say that you believe in me. You say that you do what I say to do. And I'm not even there. You're rich. You have need of nothing. You don't even need me. You have a choir. Oh, and you sing, and you lift your hands, but I'm not there. And your heart is far from me because you don't belong to me, because you're lukewarm, and I vomit you out of my mouth. You have no part of my body at all in the body of Christ. He says, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, you remember that great, who was it, that great painting? I think it's by Holman or Hallman. I can't remember. And it shows Jesus outside and there's a door and he's knocking on the door to be let in, but there's not a handle on the outside of the door because the handle's on the inside of the door. And only the person on the inside can open up and say, come in. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. If anyone hears my voice, opens the door, look what will happen. You open that door for me, I'm going to come in and I'm going to dine with him. What does that mean? Intimacy, fellowship, the new birth, new creation. You're going to belong to me. I'll dine with him and he with me. He's knocking on the door of believers. No, of unbelievers who think they believe. Oh, God. Laodicea, the church of the excluded Christ. If we are not going to move into the revolution, if we're not going to do what he's told us to do, if we're not going to take the keys of the kingdom that we all have, well, I can tell you, maybe we're lukewarm. Bill, I don't like that. Loved one, I don't like that either. And I say, oh, Lord, you mean they were Christians in name only? Yes, Bill, they were. They just, you know, somebody has to answer the door. Somebody has to answer the door. You have to answer the door. And you have to let the Lord in to what he wants to do at this season that we are in. For one day, the door of grace is going to close. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. There's so many lukewarm Christians today. I don't want to be one of those. Jesus said in John 10:1, he said, hey, most assuredly, that word again, amen and amen, infallible, truthful word of God. I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, meaning by faith in Christ, climbs up another way. You're a thief and a robber. John 10:7, Jesus said, he said, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. John 10:9. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find green pasture. I wish I had time to retell the story. Remember those muscle guys? Remember? That was the scripture the Lord gave me there as a young man working out in the gym. You know, and I look good. And these two bodybuilders were over there working out. I mean, they had muscles like that. And the Lord spoke that scripture to me. He says, go over and tell those two boys. And they were teens. Go over and tell those two boys today, if they come into the door, they will go in and out and find green pasture. And I said, first thing I thought was, do I have a will? I walked over to him, Mario. They were, you know how you get all greased up, those guys, you know. They're looking in the mirror. You know, their legs are bigger than my waist. And you know how they move those, and they pop those muscles. You know, we know what that means. And I said, hey, my name is Bill, and the Lord just spoke to me. And he said, he's the door to the sheep, and if you'll come through that door today, you'll go in and out and find green pasture. And I was ready for them to knock all my teeth out. And I'll never forget, they looked at me and said, how do we do that? And I said, you know, the sweat from my bicycle was dripping. I said, be at my house at 6 p.m. tonight. Here's my address and I'll tell you. You can ask my wife. I've told you this story, but it just bears witness to tell it again. Here they came. You know, this was a long time ago, guys, 79, whatever. They had those, you know, you're so muscly, you got to walk like this. But they had, everything was tight. I mean, you know, and they walked, and they knocked on my door, and as God is my witness, the moment they walked into the door, they walked into the what? The door. The Spirit of God moved into the house. They fell on their face and said, ask my wife, what must we do to be saved? Hallelujah. I didn't know I had the key then, but I have the key now. It is up to us to take the key of the kingdom of heaven and take people that are lost and are hurting and hell bound and lead them to the door and say, you can go in. And when you do, you'll go in and out and you'll find green pasture and you will never be the same again. And that young man that came to Christ, as I already told you, remember the story? He became Mr. Teenage America and got involved with the Christian Association of Athletes because he walked through the door. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, let the revolution begin. Let your Spirit fall in this place. Let revival come to this church. And let us not be a sissy church, Lord, but let us be on fire. Set us on fire in Jesus' name, Father. And those that are here right now, maybe they're lukewarm. They don't even know you. They come to church, but they don't even read their Bibles. They don't have a... Turn the lights up a little bit. I want to see. Turn the light. Thank you. And listen, you know, you don't know the Lord, but maybe you pretend to know the Lord and you want to know the Lord, but you're not living for the Lord. You know what? You can. I have a key, and there's a door. And if you will lift your hand and say, Bill, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I want to quit playing church. You don't have to get out of your chair. You don't have to come down here, but you have to lift your hand and put it right back down and say, Bill, pray right now for me. I want Christ and I want nothing else. I'm not going to live. God bless you. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. I'm not going to live for the world anymore. God bless you. That's right. No, God. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. I'm not living. I'm living for Jesus. Jesus and no one else. Last call, if that's you, it's time to come in to the kingdom. It's time to really live for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Anyone else before I pray? God bless you. That's right. God bless you. That's right. God bless you. Church, pray with me. Those that lifted your hands, you pray with me too. Say, Father, today, I've entered the door. His name is Jesus. Thank you. So right now, I confess with my mouth, oh, Jesus, be my Lord. I believe in my heart. Father, you raised him from the dead. You promised if I would confess Jesus as my Lord and believe, you would save me. I believe. Save me now. In Jesus' name, I am saved. And the church says, amen. God is good. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. It's time. It is time. Amen. Listen,